The explosion earlier this month at the Big Branch mine owned by Massey Energy in southern West Virginia, which claimed the lives of 29 miners, the worst mining disaster in almost 40 years, has drawn attention to the dangers of coal production. But mining coal is just the start of a long list of dangers and destructive impacts on the land, water, air, and human health, both at the site of extraction and for those downwind of the coal-fired electricity plants. Burning coal produces at least 45% of America's electricity and 30% of the emissions in the U.S., which cause global warming. The Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign was motivated by the Bush-Cheney administration's advocacy for the construction of over 100 new coal plants to provide energy rather than moving toward renewables and energy efficiency, which Vice President Cheney famously declared a meaningless lifestyle choice. In the week commemorating the 40th anniversary of Earth Day on April 22nd, Between the Lines Melinda Tuhus spoke with Marianne Hitt, director of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. She spoke about the successes the campaign has achieved thus far and the challenges which remain.
The coal campaign at the Sierra Club started as a very small effort back around 2002 with some activists in the Midwest who started seeing proposals pop up for new coal plants in their backyards. And it was very much a volunteer, grassroots-driven effort. And around that same time, just soon after, Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force proposed 150 new coal plants all across the country. And so the Sierra Club's small Midwestern coal campaign grew to a national effort, decided to take on all 150 of these proposed coal-fired power plants. And we have done that work with lots and lots of partner organizations and grassroots allies all across the country for many years, and I'm very proud to say that we now have defeated 128 of those proposed coal-fired power plants.
So can the proponents of those 128 plants you stopped make a few changes and come back again?
Well, the 128 coal plants we have defeated are likely gone for good. Now, if there's always, I suppose, a remote chance that one of them could pop back up again, but developers have dropped the permit applications, they've walked away from the projects, and those proposals are dead. And for those that we haven't been able to defeat, we continue fighting as long as we can until we feel like there really is no more chance of stopping it. Some have gone, you know, are under construction, and others we continue to fight to this day, but the rush to build new coal plants is quickly coming to an end. And the reason that we made that such a priority was because if you think about one coal-fired power plant, it's a massive source of global warming pollution, of mercury pollution, of toxic coal ash, which is what's left over after you burn coal, and a huge new consumer of coal that's mined using destructive techniques like mountaintop removal. So every single one of these has been a huge priority fight for us, and those that are still viable proposals, we're still fighting.
Did you use a variety of strategies or a one-size-fits-all magic bullet to stop them?
We used a wide variety of strategies. One of the things I think that has made us successful is that every single one of these proposed coal plants, if you think about it, it's like an incinerator or any other sort of big facility that is proposed in your community, the conditions are different. You have a different developer, you have different state regulators, you have a different community, and so every one of these is like a sort of massive campaign in and of itself. And so we have attorneys that we work with who were involved in the permitting process and challenging permits that we thought should not be issued. We had grassroots activists, volunteers involved in every one of these fights. A lot of times we reached out to political leaders like governors and really tried to persuade them that coal was not the right direction for the energy future of their state. And in different things worked in different places. And, you know, some states like Kansas and Florida, the governors decided that building a new coal plant was not the right energy direction for their state. In other places, the permits did not stand up to a legal challenge, and in other places it was the local community that just really managed to stop the project because they really didn't want this in their backyard. Coal produces about 45% of our electricity and about 30% of our global warming pollution. It's our single biggest source not only of global warming pollution but also mercury pollution. It's the source of soot and smog pollution that causes tens of thousands of premature deaths and heart attacks and hospitalizations every year. And so the Sierra Club's coal campaign is not only trying to stop the construction of new coal-fired power plants, but we are actually trying to solve the problems that coal is causing along the whole life cycle, from mining and techniques like mountaintop removal to the burning of coal and all the pollution associated with it to the toxic coal ash that's left over after you've burned coal.
Marianne Hitt, if you stopped all these coal plants that would have produced so much electricity, then what, if anything, is being built instead? I've had so many conversations lately with people who say, you know, even environmentalists, some, who say we need to build nuclear plants to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
There are places where we have stopped coal plants where they have instead pursued wind development, places where they are instead pursuing solar, and in places they are pursuing natural gas as an alternative, which obviously is, you know, it's a fossil fuel that's far cleaner than coal, but it's still a fossil fuel, and there's still pollution associated with the extraction and with burning it. So there definitely are very viable alternatives, and one of the things that we have seen is as long as we have this amount of coal-fired power in our baseload capacity, in our energy mix in this country, there's really not that much market share for clean energy, because we really, through energy efficiency, we have managed to really bring the demand for electricity in this country under control in recent years. And so opening up the market share for clean energy is going to involve transitioning away from coal. And everywhere that, you know, we've been involved in stopping a coal plant, we have seen time and time again that renewable energy can come in and fill the breach. So it is a long way to go in this country until we are getting the majority of our power from clean forms of energy, but we think through the work we're doing in the coal campaign and working with our partners across the country, we're starting to head things in the right direction.
Is it true that of the 128 plants you've stopped, nobody's talking about substituting a nuke plant?
Not to my knowledge, and you know, that may be because nuclear power is a very expensive proposition, and a lot of these coal plants were eventually defeated because they in and of themselves were pretty expensive and they ultimately couldn't get their financing together. But, you know, that's definitely something that I think is a real possibility given the politics right around nuclear power right now.
That was Marianne Hitt of the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign. For state-by-state information about the group's efforts challenging the nation's continuing dependence on coal, visit the organization's website at sierraclub.org/coal.